Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we certainly would love to hear from you. So send us an email with your question or your comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. And thank you for welcoming us into your home. You can also listen to our show at EWTN Podcast Central. Just go out to ewtn.com/radio/podcast or wherever you listen to your podcast. And today we are welcoming to our show Father Christopher Scythe to our show. Father Christopher was ordained a priest at the Archdiocese of Washington in 2014. After completing his formation at the North American College in Rome, he served in a parish for a couple of years, and before returning to studies for a doctorate in the sacred theology at the Catholic University of America. Drawing from his dissertation research, he published a beautiful book, Rekindling Wonder, Touching Heaven in a Screen-Saturated World, in 2022. And today, he currently serves as the coordinator of spiritual formation at St. John Paul II Seminary in Washington, D.C. And he's here to speak with us about his beautiful book, Rekindling Wonder, and how the church can be a healing remedy to the digital domination of today's world. What a breath of fresh air. I mean, I can remember when phones were just coming out, you know, we had those little flip phone things and everything. And I remember we were to the beach, and it was like the first time there was this takeover of phones. And it was like a body part to people. People were at the beach, everything so beautiful, the sand, the sun, the water. And it was like a body part that everybody had a phone. And I was like, why do you need a phone at the beach? Like, and everybody had, and that was my first aha moment, like, wow, where is this going? And look where we are now in 2025.
It's a very important conversation to have, the uses of technology and yet the higher things, the things that aren't, that are more full than that. And that is the Lord. Mm. That is what has been deposited in the church. Rekindling the gift of wonder is the solution for much of the malaise that is coming over adults and children, something that could never fulfill the wonder of God, the gift of His created order. But we have to be disciplined, and we have to respond to that wonder that God's giving to us in so many ways. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our guest here with us is Father Christopher Scythe. He is the author of a beautiful book called Rekindling Wonder, Touching Heaven in a Screen-Saturated World. And you might be at home and you might be saying, I have lost the sense of wonder in my life. And how do I rekindle that? How do I get that back? What is out of kilter? What is off sync where I don't have any wonder in my life? I expect, I demand, I want, I need, and nothing seems to impress me anymore. Well, Father, we are so glad you're here to set the record straight for everything.
I'll do what I can.
But first, tell our family a little bit about yourself and where you're from and your family origin.
Sure. So I'm, like you said, I'm the coordinator of spiritual formation at John Paul II Seminary. So I'm a priest of Washington, D.C. I grew up in a suburb of Washington with two wonderful parents, very devout. My dad was in seminary for a couple of years while actually my mom was converting from Judaism.
Wow.
And so grew up with a very beautiful witness of their marriage and their faith. And then I have an older sister, two younger brothers. And so grew up in the family, you know, close to the church. And when I was in college especially, started hearing the Lord call me to the priesthood you know, had some really beautiful friends in my life that were actually became nuns. Mm-hmm. And all the girls I asked out on dates became nuns. And so I tell people that God and I have the same taste in women.
There you go, holy women.
So that's right. And but just seeing the witness of these women that just wanted to give themselves totally to the Lord, mm-hmm. just did something in my heart like, ooh, like yeah. maybe I'm drawn to that too. Mm-hmm. And then seeing the priest at the university where I was and his just giving joy to people at a university that so much was just deadened in the souls of these students. So I was very drawn to that. And so entered seminary a couple years into college. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That comes into play, you know, in your book, Rekindling Wonder, Touching Heaven in a Screen-Saturated World. What am I referring to? It's this thing of, you mentioned being drawn.
Yeah, yes.
You know, like you saw it in these women. You saw the beauty of these women that weren't necessarily going to be wedded to a man, right. but they were being drawn, they were being right. called. And somehow it said, maybe that's for me too in this way. And your point in this book, it seems to me, I'll let you make the point,
sure,
but
no,
is
please.
That we're being drawn either by the world, mm-hmm. by the enemy, or by the Lord, by beauty. What's going to be the choice.
Yeah.
So share with us, you know, how you came to this place of writing this book. I think it took you many years to write it.
Yes.
Rekindling was about 10 years?
Yeah, probably. Yep. Yeah, I began really the study of it when I was in seminary. And really it began because, for a couple of reasons, but I just realized interiorly in myself this, like, something wasn't right. I would see these beautiful things, beautiful sunsets, and I would know, like, I'm supposed to be moved by this, and I'm not. Mm. Or I would get glimpses of that way of living, of just being able to be drawn and amazed. And I was like, why does so much of my normal day-to-day life feel more blah, you know, more just like I'm in, this malaise and kind of apathy. And I came across a quote by an author, Joseph Pieper, whom I reference in the book, talking about the vice of curiosity, which isn't like a healthy desire for knowledge, the vice of curiosity, which is this just giving your mind to whatever. Mm-hmm. And really, you know, I mean, this is basically the YouTube rabbit hole or the, you know. Mm-hmm. And he says that this is coming, this desire to just lose ourselves in getting all information. He says it's coming from someone who is nauseated and bored by the void of an interior life gutted by despair.
Mm. And say I read one more time.
That's real.
That's a good.
Yes,
say that
right?
Again.
He says the person doing this is nauseated and bored by the void of an interior life gutted by despair.
Mm. Wow.
And those words just pierced my heart. I said, oh my gosh, this is me. Like, I am wasting time online. I'm pursuing all sorts of different things because interiorly, I'm just trying to run away from myself. I don't like who I am. I don't like the emptiness that seems to be my heart. And just, it seems like I'm not moving towards anywhere fulfilling.
Yeah.
And I'm just trying to get away from that, mm-hmm. right? And so there's this despair. And so I just started kind of diving into his works and really trying to live a more intentional life of confronting that interior emptiness and finding God there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it opened my heart to a new way of living and a new way of seeing and just being able to be drawn again.
Yeah. Wow.
It's like in life, in relationships, with a phone, with our true identity and who we are. It's like this slow fade, you know, just a slow fade, you know? And then you kind of look back and you go, how did I get here?
Yes.
Like I used to be happy. I used to be joy filled. That used to excite me.
Yeah.
Like, how did I get derailed?
Yeah, you see it in children, right? And kids have this natural capacity to just, G.K. Chesterton gives the example of the child, and I see this in my nephews and nieces, you throw them in the air, mm-hmm. and they just come again, right? And they never get tired.
Right.
You can throw them in the air mm-hmm. every time, over and over and over again. And Chesterton says, this is God who never tires of telling the sun to wake up. Mm-hmm. God is such a little child in that sense. He's just so excited to see us wake up. Mm-hmm. And something happens in us. And I think in many ways, as important as it is to be practical and like we have to have a certain responsibility, but what can happen is that we get so fixated on things that we're in control of mm-hmm. that we don't allow things to just make us wonder, make us marvel.
Yes.
Well, we lose that childlike capacity to just be amazed.
Right. And the beauty of being.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
I mean, it's like I'm conditioned to do.
Yes.
You know, and my affirmation comes by what I do and how much I do and how much I can get done.
Right.
And then it's like, you know, Joy, I would just like to be with you.
Yeah.
And for me, that arrest happens in adoration.
Right.
You know, it's like, can we just be, you know? And so, and you have to do that in a relationship with your lover,
yes,
your husband,
yes.
with your Lord, with
yes.
your children, you know, with people that, everything, what I'm learning in this long view of my life as I'm living and growing old, is it's so intentional.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we get picked off.
Yeah.
And we get derailed, and then the phone is down, and there's this desire by design, I must pick it up. I must pick it up. I mean, that was designed for that.
Right.
And then we're trapped in it,
right.
you know?
But when you were sharing at the beginning about kind of examining yourself and getting in touch with yourself and the way you were feeling regarding how you described it, a malaise or you know, bored, you must have had wonder at some point in your life.
Yeah.
But I was thinking as you were speaking, you know, this is like the proverbial frog getting boiled that doesn't know it.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So that's what I was thinking. That's what came to me, that image. I said, this is a good guy. He's a good kid. I mean, you're raising a good family. Like, how did you get like that?
Right.
You know what I'm saying? But, and like, you didn't even, it happened gradually, slowly, instead of just getting shot.
That's
you know
it.
What I'm saying?
That's it.
In your heart.
Yeah.
Tell us more about that, because I think that's what's going on.
Yeah, and I think it's just the world we live in. It's so fast-paced. And you think, okay, well, you have to go to school so that you can get a job, so that you can profit society in some way, and eventually you die. It's like, okay, great, but in order to see our lives as a gift of self in love that's given, we have to be able to see the other and whom we want to give ourselves to, right?
Right.
So when I go to high schools and I give, you know, I celebrate mass for Catholic high schools, and the Catholic high schools are always saying like, our graduates have gone to this university or have succeeded in this way. And what I always tell the kids is, where are the vocations? Mm. Like, rather than saying our graduates go to this school, and how about our graduates have had this, like, successful marriages, have entered the priesthood and religious life, you know, where our whole way of living is so oriented towards this world rather than oriented towards a gift of self in love.
Right.
And that's, so we value what is concrete, what is practical, but not the simple love as the goal.
Mm-hmm.
And it's hard, and we just grow up in this, right?
It's,
and we don't even notice.
Mm-hmm.
But the child in us does, right? The Christ child in us, baptism works. And so there's this longing to be drawn. And so when we get those moments in our lives where it's like, oh, wait a minute, this is fullness of life here. What am I missing? Right? It can start making us question our values in a really good way.
Yeah.
And that's certainly what happened in my life, just through, in large part through my friendship with these beautiful women that, that were giving themselves to the Lord, and I said, whoa, what am I valuing?
Mm-hmm.
And it just led me to pray and want to really live more fully this life of Christ, which is a life lived in love.
Right.
Right?
This is very deep and profound and prophetic, you know, what you're saying. And we need grace to get to it. I mean, when you're speaking to these kids, you're working with seminarians at the college kind of level,
mm-hmm.
do you need protection and guards when you speak about screens? You know what I'm saying? Like, have you been tossed out of places? Or,
yeah, sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, because it really is almost bordering idolatry.
It's so counterculture.
They need it. It's a compulsion with some people. Yeah. And we do want to say, and you say in the book, there's so much good that can be done, and we're not condemning this. And I think Pope Leo XIV is kind of addressing this. Rerum Novarum Leo XIII address, and I'm not sure the definition of that, but it's like something new.
Yes.
Something's here, something's new. And that's what we're experiencing now. And he's trying to address that to some degree. You're trying to address this. What are you talking about? This technological revolution, it's something new. There's many positives here, but humanity has to be at the core and the center, and a those kind of things. So we need to understand what we're dealing with, what's going on, because this is not bold in your face. You just, like the frog, you keep getting boiled, or it's a little poison that goes in until you're like, what kind of human being am I?
This must be life. Sick.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So honestly, I have found in many ways quite the opposite. Not that I've been kicked out, but that there's a hunger for this, and you see it in people. Like when I'm with someone and I just start talking to that person, just the attentiveness to that person is so new. And I think there's in some ways it's the easiest time to evangelize, because only in the church is authentic humanity being experienced. And so people are drawn to this, like, well, wait a minute, you can live without a phone? And maybe they're not ready to live like that, but they see you and they say, oh, there's something here, right? There's a way of living. And like you said, we're not throwing our phones, you know, to the garbage. Sometimes maybe we should, you know, but it's just limiting them,
right?
This my life is not my phone. It's funny. Seinfeld once told a joke about, you know, we say that our phones die, you know, my phone is dead.
Yeah, right.
And he said, because if your phone is dead, does it really matter if you're alive? You know, I mean, this is how we live.
That's how it is.
It's we use this term, oh, my phone is dead. It says a lot about the way we approach these things.
Right.
Well, you give a warning, you know, in your book. We only have a couple of minutes before we go to break.
Sure,
maybe you could pick it up, you know, in the next segment. But you do speak about, I mean, this whole, it's really seductive kind of thing. And you're not necessarily a bad person, but somehow you're getting seduced into that.
Yeah.
And there's other, you know, weaknesses, or because it could really lead into sin, a mediocrity.
Mm-hmm.
But you speak about, I don't know who you use in this, but you talk about the demons in hell
C.S.
and something.
C.S. Lewis.
Thank you. Yeah, and like they're feeding off of the people and they're saying, you know, this isn't even very tasty or strong.
Yes.
In the old days, we used to have people that were really dramatic sinners.
Great sinners,
these people come in and they're just kind of, you know, meek and mild. They're not even fun to feast upon, although we'll take them.
Yeah, because there's more of them.
What are you talking about?
So, C.S. Lewis talks about this in Screwtape Proposes a Toast, and he says the demons are basically imprisoning us, not by tempting us towards these extravagant sins. They're just telling us to not care about heaven anymore. They're just getting us sucked into this world, and we don't have any longings. And so what happens when we're not able to see the beauty of reality anymore is that we have to make reality more exciting, because we ourselves are quite dull, right? And we can't be moved by the beauty of a child, by the beauty of a sunset. And so I need to make this more exciting somehow.
Well, we're going to take a break at this point and hold you over for the final segment. Rekindling wonder, touching heaven in a screen-saturated world. EWTNRC.com. Go there. Get this book. It's a prophetic book speaking into our culture and society at this time, saying here's some of the benefits of technology and so on, but here's some of the ways we're being sucked in and seduced, and it's really damaging to our souls, whether adults or children. I think we're learning this as we're looking at it, and we don't even know what's going on. So to get the diagnosis of what's happening, the spiritual diagnosis, and to make some changes in our lives is so important. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away. wrapping up our conversation with Father Chris, having an incredible conversation about rekindling wonder, touching heaven in a screen-saturated world. Father, we only have a couple of minutes. I just want to toss it over to you. Where do you want to take us in this conversation?
I think I just want to address the isolation that we experience. Because, right, so touching heaven in a screen-saturated world, what is heaven but participation in the communion of persons that is God, right? And it's this life of communion, which, of course, we're longing for. It's why we go to our phones, because they promise us a way out of isolation. The problem is that they've actually closed us more fully in ourselves. I think they do this in a couple of ways. And one is just practically, it's like, oh, well, I can use a device now for what used to be a person, you know? We used to get, like, if you're at a hotel, ask the receptionist to give you a wake-up call, right? And you wake up and you hear, the first thing you hear is someone's voice. Now we hear, dan, dan, dan. It's like, we've done this in so many fields that we just have become more isolated. And persons are able to be replaced seemingly by these machines, because, like, oh, well, what does a person really add but communion, which is what the point of life is? So that's one thing. The other is just because these devices give us a semblance of so much control. You're married, you know that control goes out the window. You have kids, you know that control goes out the window. If you want to live in love, it means I have to let go of some of this control. But we're not good at that. We distract ourselves whenever we lose control. We want to reassert our control, and it closes us in on ourselves. And so we're no longer living with a foretaste of heaven, which is communion, but a foretaste of hell, which is isolation.
Wow, powerful. Well, thank God we have you for tomorrow again. Yes. I mean, there's so much more to unpack. It's a tremendous book, and I think it's been very helpful for me, you know, to get a diagnosis of what's going on. You finally say, that is what's happening to me. Like, thank you for that, you know, and that's what a priest is supposed to do in terms of, you know, sharing that. And so what's the remedy for that? Yeah. And you say it's touching heaven. It's seeking the face of God. It's seeking God's face in other people's faces. Yes. It's giving your life away instead of controlling everything, and then you will be set free. That's what you're saying. And it's just really, really powerful. Be sure to join us tomorrow to continue our conversation with Father Christopher Seith and rekindling wonder. May that be true in your life, in your children's life, your grandchildren's lives. This is a very part of the awakening that our nation needs and renewal within the church. You're an important part of this EWTN family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now.